Welcome on into the Wolverine.com podcast. Clayton Safey here with Anthony Broom, taking you into the 4th of July weekend. So thanks for being with us. Hope everybody has a great holiday. We're going to talk a little Michigan basketball today. That is kind of the news of the week. Michigan on Sunday getting a commitment from 2022 Lebanese forward wing Youssef Khayat. That was my best attempt at pronouncing the last name, K-H-A-Y-A-T. I apologize if I mess that up later on, because that was right off the top there, trying to get it right. But very talented player. We'll break his game down. We'll talk about the rest of the roster now that they're at 13 scholarships. But Anthony, we kind of talked about this last week because we saw this coming a little bit. Obviously, he picked Michigan over Xavier and a couple other schools. Who were the other contenders there?
Wake Forest and DePaul.
Yes. So we talked last week how Xavier is always going to scare you when Sean Miller is now there. Sean Miller on the recruiting trail, of course. But I guess your impressions of Youssef Khayat and what he's going to bring.
You're doing great, by the way. It sounds awesome. I like the addition. I like it a lot. It's hard to say love the addition because we haven't seen him play other than some of the highlight tapes from this pro league in France he was playing for. But this to me is a guy that they didn't have on the roster last year. He very much fits that Franz Wagner role of, I think he can be a pretty good switchable defender. He dives for loose balls. He plays with good energy on both ends of the floor. Offensively, like depending on the scouting report, depending on what you watch, to me, the shooting stroke still looks a little stiff to me, but someone who shot, I think, about 35% from three playing for Limoges last year, averaged about 17 and a half a game, I think it was. It's a good player. And I think that this group is going to – what they missed out last year, and Eli Brooks is great. I take nothing away from him. I don't know that they had a tone setter defensively. Someone who's going to, scrape up his elbows diving for a loose ball or, the chase down blocks, things like that. I think that Youssef has the ability to be that. And also he's more of like a slashing wing, power forward type of guy. I don't know where he fits in this Michigan lineup yet. I guess it depends on the look that they give you, but yeah, I actually think like he's probably going to be moved along a little more carefully than they were with Franz, just because he's not on campus yet. It doesn't seem like he's going to be on campus until fall. You'll have those other guys that they do go to Europe this summer, right? I didn't miss
mid-August. And who knows? So that's another thing with this is who knows when he's going to be joining the team. I don't know that he's going on that trip. I don't know that he's not. We'll obviously probably learn that coming up, but he has a visa to deal with, as he told Jeff Goodman and the guys at Field of 68. So we'll see when he comes over, and that's going to impact how ready he is come November too.
Yeah. Long story short, like the addition a ton. I think that's a guy that, at best is your, or at worst, I should say, is maybe your sixth or seventh guy off the bench at best. Maybe he's your starting three or your starting four, depending on what type of lineup look they go with here. So it's a good addition. I think that, I don't know that he's like a one and done type guy. I know there were some people picking it apart saying, oh, well, he said he's going to spend it next year at the University of Michigan. We'll see what happens. I mean, it depends on the player development and how he comes along. But 6'8", 6'9", I think the 6'10", based on at least the scout that you talked to, was probably a little optimistic. But yeah, good basketball player. I think he fits a need pretty well. I think he's more of a fit in this lineup than maybe, let's call a spade. Michigan was rolling two centers out there last year, and the spacing wasn't great. I think that they improve everything at that spot with him joining the team. So excited to see how he comes together. Excited to see how this whole stew comes together now. The roster is set here. So all 13 guys are accounted for.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit more about starting five, maybe rotation in just a little bit. But I'm with you on, especially defensively. Like you said, I talked to an international scout who works for a team in Turkey, had to download an app to talk to him Sunday after the commitment, and got some really good stuff. So, basically this guy was the first one to kind of discover Youssef, over there when he moved to France for Limoges, which I believe is the pronunciation. It's just a pronunciation podcast, but of the French.
Sorry, I didn't do my Rosetta Stone this morning. So. Right.
So Limoges, the French youth team for the professional organization, a U21 team. He's been playing on it for a couple years now, so playing against some guys that are a little bit older. Level of competition there, hard to compare, I would say, to high school because, again, there are so many different levels at high school ball. EYBL, you know, maybe there are some guys, since they're older, a little more physically mature. But in terms of skill, I don't think you're getting more skill over there either. So I think it's going to be an adjustment from that level of play. You know, talking to the scout, he says, and by the way, I'm not saying his name because not that he was anonymous, but his pronunciation's even harder. So it's another pronunciation there. But his first name's Kuzi. He was a great guy. But he was basically saying the closeouts are weak out there. The defensive rotations aren't very good. So he wasn't taking anything away from Yo-Yo, which is Youssef's nickname. But he was just saying that to take it with a grain of salt a little bit, what you see on film and what you see in the stat book there. Like you said, he averaged over 17 points a game. He led his team in scoring and rebounding, shot about 37% was a number I saw from three, but he said take that number a little bit with a grain of salt. He thinks his shot needs work, and a lot of those were pretty open. He only had one game where he hit three threes, so take that into account. And he basically said the defense is there right away. The defense is going to be there, as you mentioned, switchable, which is huge, huge, huge for Michigan. It's one of the reasons why I think they struggled a little bit last year is the lack of versatility defensively. So you have that. Offense, I think he's going to be more of a residual type of guy. I don't think you're going to be drawing stuff up on the wing for him like you did with Franz as a sophomore or anything. And the Franz comparison we also talked about because this guy scouted Franz Wagner as well. And he said he loves the comparison because they're similar body type. You know, the defense is similar, but it's mostly on that end of the floor. The offense isn't quite there yet, though the potential to be there is, you know, is possible. And, you know, he said he thinks it's going to be a few years until he can make his way into the NBA. So I totally agree on the one and done. That leads us kind of to where he fits in, and I know you alluded to it a little bit. I basically said, and we're discussing it on the message board, I think I would still pencil in Terrence Williams as the starting four right now because there are question marks. When does he get on campus? How quickly is he going to adjust? All these things. And people were saying that, whoa, I mean, Terrence didn't show us this. He didn't show us that. Terrence Williams is going to be an upperclassman this winter who's played a lot of college basketball. He's helped win Michigan some really big games. You look at Michigan State last year. Tennessee obviously comes to mind as well in the round of 32. He's going to be even more crafty, a little savvier of a player while Youssef is going to be adjusting. And I think it's fair to say that maybe by the end of the year, Youssef's the better player. But I'm not writing off a Terrence Williams yet. I'm not, you know, writing off Joey Baker getting some big minutes there as well. I think Youssef can be, 15, 20 minutes a game, and then we'll see from there type of guy. But I guess, how do you see that kind of wing rotation playing out? Jet Howard, I think I would pencil him in as probably the starting three. While also noting that he'll probably get minutes in the backcourt. But how do you kind of handicap that race, I guess? And Terrence Williams feels like he's becoming the forgotten man.
Yeah, I'll start with Terrence Williams because I think that's a guy I wrote about this earlier this week. You know, just some kind of cursory thoughts after the roster being set. You know, who's going to be the second banana to Hunter Dickinson? And people go, oh, it's going to be Jet Howard, the guy who's, you know, potential one and done, versatile wing player. Or, oh, it's Jalen Llewellyn, an experienced Ivy League point guard, a scorer, someone who's going to have to be a little bit better distributing the basketball. I think we're kind of overlooking the guy that's been here. And Hunter Dickinson and Terrence Williams have been playing winning basketball together since, I don't know, before their voices got deeper. I don't know how long they played together, but it's been, and it'll be 3 years at Michigan. They played, I know they played ball together before they got to school from the similar area. So that's a guy where we talk a lot about inconsistency, shooting the basketball and things like that when it comes to his skill set. I think he's a guy who's going to benefit by just playing more. And there's a little bit less volatility when you're getting those more consistent minutes. You know, there's a little more consistency that naturally comes with that. So excited to see how he takes that development. I mean, that's a guy I'm not making the one-to-one comparison, but if there's anyone on this roster, an upperclassman who would be most beneficial to make like an Isaiah Livers type of jump from sophomore to junior year, that's the guy. I mean, he's 6'7", I think he played at 230 last year. He could probably still slim up a little bit, get a little more athletic out there on the wing. Talk about, being switchable and things like that. That's a guy, keep an eye on him. I think that there's a chance that he can be a guy that takes a big step, and someone like that can alter the outlook of the entire roster. Cause like you said, it is a lot of unknowns there right now. So I guess another candidate to maybe start at the four might be Terrace Reed. I know he's listed as a power forward. I think by doing that again, you're kind of opening yourself up to looking a little more simple. Now, I think Terrace Reed's a much better basketball player even now than Moussa Diabate is, but I think that spacing, I think, is going to be critical for them, and having him come off the bench is like that combo. He can be the primary backup at center. He can come in and give you minutes at the four. I think that's where his best spot's going to be there. So starting line, it's going to be fascinating because we know that Jet Howard has the ability to play the two. I think he's more of a three. It's another guy like Kobe Bufkin has to be ready. Like, even if he doesn't start, he's probably going to be your sixth or seventh guy off the bench. So the time is for these guys that have been recruited to be these program guys, so to speak, not necessarily the one and done types. Those are the guys that I'm not going to put a ton of pressure on Youssef because, like you said, he is still so raw and it's just a different beast over here. So we'll see what happens. But right now, if I had to handicap it, I'm probably saying your lineup is going to be Llewellyn, Bufkin, Howard, Williams, Dickinson. Does that sound accurate to
you? That's what I have. Yeah, I would go with that. The one thing, talking about Terrence Williams and his development, and he talked about it earlier this spring or summer, springish, with Brian Bush on the Defend the Block podcast, but he really wants to improve his defense. He's trying to strengthen up his lower body so he can play in the post but also guard guys on the perimeter and move a little bit quicker. He needs to do that if he wants to stay on the floor and be a full-time guy that gets 28 minutes a game or something like that. And I think that's where Youssef maybe has the leg up on him. Talking about that Franz Wagner comparison with the scout that I spoke to, he said he has some of those same instincts where his hands in the passing lane, he kind of comes out of nowhere. He's really good at rotating over and things like that. And obviously the length he has, as you mentioned, probably closer to 6'7 or 6'8 will help him there as well. And that's something that Michigan really lacked, was a guy with good instincts defensively on the wing last year. So that might be where he gets the leg up on Terrence Williams. And if they say, well, we need him in there to defend a little bit more when they need, a little more shot making, I think Terrence is going to, play better on offense and hit some more shots, even though he had a good percentage last year at a low volume. Then maybe they go with him and it's kind of a steady rotation. Joey Baker factors in there as well. Jet Howard factors in there. So there are suddenly some options on the wing when before you were saying, man, thin in the backcourt, thin on the wing. And then, of course, the most stable situation ever at center with Hunter Dickinson and then a stud freshman coming in to back him up. And as you said, potentially play some of the four. But when you look at this roster now that is set, is there, outside of Hunter Dickinson, something that you feel the best about? And is there something that concerns you the most, I guess, too?
I think you kind of just hit on it in terms of having options and being versatile. I think this roster is loads more versatile than last year's was. I'm looking at some of the KenPom stuff from last year, just in terms of who your role players were, who your contributors were. I mean, your bench was basically Frankie Collins. It was Kobe Bufkin, it was Terrence Williams, and it was Brandon Johns. No one else. I mean, Jace Howard got in there as well. No one was scoring out of that group. And now you've got, I think that Doug McDaniel can play. I think that that's someone who I think is even being slept on a little bit. I think that, again, it's going to take a little bit of time. He's undersized, but I think that he can, he has some, I like him better as your backup point guard than what Frankie Collins was as a freshman, to be frank with you. Frankie was athletic, but didn't do a whole heck of a lot else very well. Joey Baker is going to bring some shooting off the bench. They didn't have any shooting off the bench last year. If you want to say Terrence Williams, fine, but you're kind of making my point for me. Brandon Johns, you didn't really get anything out of him last year, not nearly enough. So I just feel like bench-wise, if your bench is, let's just say that Terrence Williams is in the starting lineup and your bench is Doug McDaniel, Terrace Reed, Joey Baker. I'm missing someone else here, but
probably Youssef. Yeah.
Youssef would be the, yeah, that's a pretty good group of guys. I think there's a lot of upside there with that. You know, things I'm concerned about, it is still the shooting, to be frank with you. We didn't see it enough from Kobe Bufkin last year. I think he shot like 17% from three, whatever it was. It's a pretty bad number, but he didn't play a ton. He doesn't have the sample size. So we'll see what that opportunity does for him. Hunter Dickinson did a great job taking his game away from the basket, but I don't know if that's going to be a guy you look at to be, you know, okay, you be the solution out there on the perimeter. You need to hit more shots. I don't think that's going to happen either. So we'll see about that. It's to me, it's still the offense. It's the shooting. I do think this team will be better defensively, but I don't think it's going to be something they're going to be able to hang their hat on. So, you know, in the early look, I think I like the pieces here. I like the ingredients here. I think on paper, it looks to me like a team that does have top four in the Big Ten upside. But on paper last year, it looked like you were one of the five or six best teams in college basketball and would win the Big Ten going away, and it didn't happen like that. So maybe being underrated is the way to go. Maybe that's going to be more beneficial for this group. I think that they like being the underdogs. I'll say this, and you can grab this clip and play it for me in April next year if I'm wrong. This team is not going to be 19-15 again. I think they will win 20-plus games. I think they will be one of the better teams in the Big Ten, and I think that they have a good shot to be a team that cracks the second weekend of the tournament. So that, and which isn't a hot take because they've done it 5 years in a row.
It's true. Schedule's tough again, but not maybe as tough. And I think I'm with you. 15 losses is a lot, especially for a team that did have that type of talent and did make the second weekend of the tournament. I'd like to see how many Sweet 16 teams have lost 15 games over the last however many years. Maybe I'll look at that, but I'm with you. When I look at the thing I feel the best about, and then I was thinking about this as you were talking there too, Hunter Dickinson may be a guy that is, you know, he's the Big Ten's top returning player. I don't think that's a hot take. I think he's probably going to be preseason player of the year. Not that it means a whole lot. You want to be postseason player of the year, but you know, we don't talk a lot about him because of what he brings back, or because of, you know, he's such a known commodity, and what he does for this team is kind of almost so obvious at this point. So shout out to Hunter Dickinson because he deserves a little bit of shine here. But I will say, with the thing I feel the best about is kind of what you talked about with some of these pieces they have. They may not have the formula in the starting five, you know, just to be these, roll these five guys out and be a great team, but there are pieces there, and I think there are going to be some games where we're talking about afterwards how, well, Juwan Howard pushed the right buttons. You know, he went with Joey Baker at this time, and he went with Jet Howard at that time. I think it might be key, you know, substituting this year and things like that, like the little things, the little decisions. Or we might say, oh, they should have stuck with this guy longer. Or Youssef was playing great defense. You know, he added a spark when he came in. So there are enough pieces to the puzzle, I think, now, especially on the wing, that I feel pretty good about this team. But shooting, I feel better about with Baker there. I wouldn't put that at the top of my list. I would just kind of put at the top of my concern list the backcourt in general. Jalen Llewellyn is still a question mark, what he's going to do from the Ivy League. I think he's going to be probably a better defender than Devontae Jones, but people are kind of, they underestimated all year how good he was on offense, especially in the pick and roll. That's going to be tough to replicate, although it helps having Hunter Dickinson. Kobe Bufkin, we've talked a lot this offseason about how much his development is going to mean to this team. How much better is he? You know, is he just a little bit better? He's a starting two. I don't see a scenario where if he's not playable, even if he's not quote-unquote playable, he's playing because there's just not the numbers there that you need. So you know, maybe Doug McDaniel, and then you go Llewellyn at the two if things get crazy or if somebody gets hurt. But the backcourt depth and the backcourt in terms of how unproven it is, I think is my concern. But I feel a lot better about this roster than I did 4 weeks ago before the additions of Baker and Youssef. And they're not huge on their own, but just the fact that you added a couple more wings, you added you know, some different roles to this team that they needed, I think it goes a long way. Anything else on hoops before we send people out of here for 4th of July? I know they're all waiting to celebrate until we're done talking here about Michigan basketball in June.
Waiting with bated breath here, I know. biggest positive, Imani Bates is not on your basketball team. I'll just leave it at that. We can call that over. It's done with. Have fun playing at Louisville or Eastern Michigan or Wayne County Community College. Enjoy, but that was, to me, never a fit. I think that the interest was always one-sided, and people saying that Michigan was interested were being fed an agenda by the Bates camp. It's done. It's over with. We can move past that. To me, I think that would have been a nightmare. So I'm fascinated to see what he does now, but I think that Michigan did pretty well for itself overall. You know, this is our first show post-NBA draft. Caleb Houston went to the Orlando Magic. Musa Diabate, Los Angeles Clippers, both second-round picks. I mean, Godspeed, fellas. I don't know if they'll ever become the best version of themselves inside of those organizations and on those plans. But would have liked to see him another year in college. But, hey, I think that at this point it's about the guys that are at Michigan. And I think that there are some pretty intriguing pieces here. So excited to see how it develops, how it comes along, and also put some respect on Juwan Howard's name. People got mad because he was biking in France and then come to find out he's probably over there scouting Youssef. So put some respect on that man's name. He has a plan.
It's true. People love the question. I mean, any head coach, I guess.
Harbaugh's on vacation right now, and people are wondering why he's not delivering McDonald's bags of cash to people's front yards. Like,
right.
Let the men live a little bit.
And that's your football update for the week. I'm actually excited to see where Imani Bates lands in the transfer portal next year. Because he'll pick somewhere this year, and then we'll see where he ends up next year, which portal team he chooses, or if he goes to the G League.
He's going to be huge in Lithuania. I mean, the star that Lithuanian basketball has been seeking, so...
Hey, you said that, not me. That's I do kind of feel bad for the kid a little bit. Obviously, he has a lot of people surrounding him, and he's been a star for a long time. But I do wish the best for him, unless he goes to Louisville. So, just kidding. But that's your Imani Bates update as well. So, we got football and Imani Bates in the last minute or so. So
check, check, check.
That's our entire agenda. That was what we were told to talk about. So, anything else before we wrap up?
No, we're in recruiting dead period now. We're in kind of like a not content dead period. We're still going to have stuff that's getting cranked out. But I think we're in, really until Big Ten Media Days, we're in a brief enjoy the summer mode. And we'll have a magazine week in there somewhere. Football preview went great. That'll be on newsstands hopefully by the end of July. Sold out of our pre-order. So excited about that. Thanks to everyone who supported us there. I am going to drink some cold beverages and smoke some meats this weekend. Excited for it. So happy 4th of July. Thanks for sticking with us. And like I said, always appreciate the support.
100%. Yeah. It sounds like a fantastic weekend. I'll be doing some similar things. And, as Anthony said about the football preview magazine, ships in mid-July, so you'll be able to get that for those of the people that pre-ordered. If you didn't pre-order, also, as Anthony said, we sold out of that, but the MDen is going to be your place. They're going to have several hundred of those, and you'll be able to get them online or in the MDen store, so look for that once they're on the newsstands. But again, happy 4th of July, everybody. Enjoy the holiday weekend. Enjoy the rest of your summer, and we'll talk to you next week.